It's 2020. Who's excited? Doesn't 2020 have a cool, like, because this is pretty cheesy, but we're going to have 2020 vision in 2020. Making bad jokes as always. But last week was great. Richard was talking about this year being a year of growth. And I can really say that I really sense that this year as well. And I believe that God's going to stretch us further than we've ever been before. And I really do believe that there is a Jesus revolution coming this year. It might not be the same as in the 80s or the 70s, you know, with the hippie Jesus movement. Was anyone out of that? Got saved out of that? Yeah, that's awesome. But God never does the same thing twice. Amen. But I do believe it's going to be our best year, 2020. I just like it, 2020. Come on. So this morning, I want to take us back to some of the basics. And I want to take us back to what Jesus says in... Let me just open up my Bible. I just like having a Bible. Like, forget the phone, get a Bible. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. I mean, most of us know this. It's the greatest command that Jesus shares in the Bible. He says this, if I can find it here. I've gone to chapter 23, whoopsie daisies. Here we go. So, it says this, teacher, which is the most important command in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Other translations say, and strength. So I want to ask a question. I hope that's okay. Who enjoys church? Like two people. Who enjoys the music? I mean, Jen was amazing. That was her first time. Well, one of, like, she's leading, so, you know, it's amazing. I mean, how good are the people here? Like, come on. Like, we have some of the most incredibly talented, amazing, hospitable people on the planet at Church in the Marketplace, right? Amen? Come on. What about Pastor Peter? His sermons, like, his sermons are always on point. Like, they're amazing. There's always amazing coffee, yeah, with real coffee. That's why you want to stick around afterwards and continue worshiping with coffee. That's good. But don't you love coming to church, right? So I'd like to ask another question too. Here we go. Does God enjoy our worship service? Okay, I just want to ask that because sometimes we don't always ask that question. See, most of the time we can sometimes just assume God loves what we do every Sunday. But yeah, but sometimes we're really good at getting people's feedback, and we recently did the NCD survey. Most of us participated in that, and I think that's really helpful, but the question I really want to ask is, God pleased with our worship? Here we go. This is getting pretty deep. But let me ask this. When you stepped in here this morning, were you thinking about what pleases God? Were you conscious of what pleases Him? Did you come this morning to church looking to get something, looking to receive something? Or did you come here hoping that we'd play your favorite song? I'm sorry, we try. We really do try. Were you hoping that your favorite speaker would be speaking? Well, you're stuck with me, sorry. Or did you come here this morning conscious of what pleases God? Did you come here with a heart to serve, to love, to encourage? Were you just so excited to come and worship Jesus? I mean, my question is, what does God think when he looks down on us worshiping, when he looks down at our worship service? I mean, does he see people who are just so honored to come and just pray and worship and just enter into his presence? Does he see a people who are just so in love with him? When God listens to the songs we sing, does he just hear our lips? Or does he hear our souls crying out and giving him praise and glory? Is God pleased? And it's easy for me as a preacher to fall into a trap of thinking, oh man, I really hope the people like my message. But more than that, I hope what I'm doing is honoring to God. Because I'm just a vessel which God speaks through, and that's incredible. That's amazing. I'm just blown away that God would use me to speak. But I've been pondering that thought lately. Is what we're doing pleasing to God? Is how we live everyday life pleasing to him? Are we conscious of that? I mean, what would church look like? What would a church look like that is pleasing to God? I mean, the greatest commandment is that we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind. God wants us to be lovers of him. He wants us to be devoted to him in worship and prayer. Are we that kind of church? Is church in the marketplace in love with God? So we're going to explore that a little bit this morning. So what does it mean to love God? Well, I'd like to ask a question. I'm full of questions this morning. What's the difference between loving God and loving Jesus? And because I've heard people say to me, we believe in the same God. You just go through Jesus. You know, I go through such and such, a prophet or like someone else. But we all worship the same God, don't we? No. Someone's on fire. Okay, but it amazes me when I read, okay, Jesus says this in John 8:42. Now, he's speaking to the Pharisees. So these guys are totally schooled in the Torah, in the Old Testament. And it's astonishing. He says this, if God were your father, you would love me. If God were your father, you would love me. And he even goes on further, and he even says, you're children of the devil. I mean, that's some pretty strong stuff right there. But here's the thing, we cannot love God without loving Jesus. So, excuse me. So, they go together. So, do we embrace Jesus for who he is? See, he is not just some wise teacher or some prophet. Jesus is the Son of the living God. He is divine. He's the resurrected one. He's the one who gives eternal life. He is the only way to the Father. John 14:6. And he would often say that throughout all of the Gospels. What would he say? He would say, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus and the Father are one. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way to God. It is only through Jesus. So I just want to be as crystal clear on that as I can. Jesus is the only way to know the true living God. Do we believe this? Because this is what the scriptures teach us. So how do we love God? By loving Jesus. And how do we love Jesus? Well, here's something we do. We receive him. We receive who he is. It means that we believe who Jesus says he is and we open up our hearts and receive him. So he broke the power of sin on the cross. He died in our place. He took the punishment for our sins. And he did away with them so that we could have a relationship with God. So to love Jesus not only means that we receive him as our Savior, but it also means we receive him as our Lord. We come under him. We doing all right? I'm getting fired up. Preaching, this is just gospel. To love Jesus means that we treasure him more than anything. And here's another question, full of them this morning. Is love doing what Jesus said, or is it a deeper heart issue? I'll try to answer it. But let's go to Matthew 10:37. Jesus says this, "Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." Jesus wants us to love him more than anything in this life. I mean, don't you think that's a pretty strong way to put it, right? If you love your son or your daughter more than me, you are not worthy of Jesus. That's what he's saying. I mean, have you ever been in love? I'm sure most of us have been in love at some stage in our life. We all remember our first relationship breakdowns. I was 14. I was a wreck. I thought I was going to marry this girl and bow, bow. Good thing I met Raina. But I think back to when I was dating Raina. And man, I was excited. I was like passionate. I was pursuing her. I used to live in the Northern Beaches and I would drive my Holden Vectra, which I would advise you not to buy because they're very bad cars and they break down all the time. But I would often be driving and I'd have to pull over on the road. My engine would be steaming. But I would do whatever it took to get to go and see Raina because I was in love. I still am in love. I said I still am in love. Yeah. But I'd bring her flowers every time I'd go to see her. All the way from Northern Beaches to Carlingford. Far out. What a trek. You have to get your passport out in Sydney. But here's the thing. Are we devoted? Are we as devoted in our relationship with Jesus? I mean, I can passionately talk about the tennis. Oh, that forehand, man. That was sick. Any golfers? No. I know Lena plays golf, but she's not here. Surfers. I know we've got surfers in the house. It's Bondi Junction, of course we do. But we can talk about that stuff passionately. I mean, I can talk about music so passionately, but sometimes we struggle to passionately talk about Jesus. We struggle to find time to spend in prayer. I mean, 20 minutes a day in prayer with Jesus, it's going to change our lives. And in Matthew 10, Jesus commands us to be more devoted to him than anything, even family. And isn't it interesting to think that we can, you know, struggle to get to church on time, ready to worship and sing and praise God at 10 a.m. Gone real quiet. We need to rekindle the flame. We need to become more passionate in our love for God. Amen? Here's my next thing. It's interesting also to think about what Jesus means when he says, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." It's found in John 14:15. And it's going back to that question of, do we just obey because we love Jesus, or is it a deeper heart issue? I mean, I'd like to suggest that it's actually a deeper heart issue as much as it is to obey. See, we can only obey his commands if we love Jesus more than anything in this world. And I believe that this love he's talking about, it's an affectionate love full of emotion. I mean, we're not meant to just be robots under the command of like some commander who's like, do this, yes, sir, do this, yes, sir. But our love is meant to have emotion. Do you know there are commands in the Bible for our emotions? The Bible talks about joy, being happy, love. It talks about peace and patience. It says, don't get angry. Jesus wants us to love him more than anything. And I think love for Jesus is more than just doing. Love is not just doing, it's a feeling as well. I mean, I knew I was like in love with Raina. I'm in love with Raina. She's my wife. There is a feeling in me. I would do anything for her. I would die for her. I have a feeling, right? I'm not just like, yes. Sometimes we can be like robots. But I think, I just want to finish with this. I mean, it's a pretty short sermon, but that's all right. But I want to finish with this story. It's an amazing story. It's found in Luke chapter 7. And Jesus, I'll kind of paraphrase it, but you can find it in Luke chapter 7. Will it come up on the screen? There you go. So Jesus was having dinner with a Pharisee at their house. And I don't know if you know, but like back in the day when they'd go to eat, they'd have like kind of very low tables and they'd be kind of kneeling while they eat, right? So anyway, he's there having dinner with the Pharisees. And off the street comes a woman. She just comes in. Not a very good woman. I mean, scholars would say that she was a prostitute. And here she is coming into this house, the house of the Pharisees. And she begins to weep. She begins to wet Jesus' feet with her tears. And she then wipes them with her hair and she kisses his feet and then pours out an alabaster jar of perfume on Jesus. And oh my gosh, the Pharisees. They said, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. And Jesus answered him, Simon, by the way, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed them, let's just say, $5,000, and the other $5. Neither of them had money to pay this man back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me water for my feet, but she wept my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. What a story. What a story. are we overwhelmed by Jesus? We love Him because He first loved us. Jesus found me when I was so, so broken. When I was in the lowest place. When I thought I was beyond saving, He met me and loved me. Are we overwhelmed by Jesus? Is He our most treasured treasure more than anything? I want to leave us with that. Let's just close our eyes and we're just going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we come humbly before you. Well, we repent for not treasuring you more than everything in this world. Lord, I pray that you would show us the stuff in our hearts that's blocking us from loving you. Would you light up the darkness? Holy Spirit, come and speak to us now. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Would you ignite a fire in our hearts? May there be a fresh passion for you, Jesus. May we love you with not only what we do, but may we love you with all of our affection. Jesus, we love you. We worship you. For you are worthy. Nothing can compare to you. You are the name above all names. And we bow down before you here this morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen.